going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Mango and Chime here on Boston Sports Original WEEI, talking Patriots draft and a little bit of Shedeur Sanders in the first hour, hour number two here on WEEI, as we take you up until about 12:10 this afternoon, leading right into the Red Sox Mass Mutual pregame show coming up before the doubleheader against the Cleveland Guardians. Mega, let's jump right back into the calls because people want to talk about Shedeur Sanders. Ron in Medford's been hanging on. Ron, what's up?
Hey, Mego, I definitely have you trumped when it comes to ugly feet, though. I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah?
We're both in the... I'm in the ugly foot club. I'm the president of it.
Okay, you know what? I think it's a mark of hard work. If you have ugly feet, it means you put them to work.
Well, yeah, they've definitely worked a lot of years. But as far as Shedeur Sanders, for whatever reason, my kid's really enamored with him. He's 33 years old, and he loves watching him. And every time they were on, we watched them and probably watched Colorado a hell of a lot more than most people out here. And every time we watched this kid, every time he was under pressure, had a drive to tie the game, win the game, or big moments in the game, he was, Travis Hunter aside, I mean, look, Montana had, you know, great players most of the time have great personnel around them, but Travis Hunter or not, this kid was awesome. I mean, I never once saw this kid lose poise, lose control. Big moments weren't too big for him. So him not getting drafted, there's a lot more to this, a lot more. I mean, Stephen A. Smith went off on a tangent yesterday about it, and it's too bad because maybe he just didn't interview well, but he can play. I mean, he should have been gone by now.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Ron. I think he's right. I think, like, if you're just going off of talent, I think Shooter's pretty good. I don't think he's amazing. Again, I didn't have a first round grade on him, but I would have, if I'm the Steelers, why aren't you taking him in the third round? The Steelers literally don't have quarterbacks on their roster. Their only quarterback is Mason Rudolph and Skylar Thompson. Shedeur Sanders is certainly better than that.
I keep thinking about, and the caller just brought up, A, maybe he didn't interview well. Remember that story that came out about how unprofessional he was?
Yep.
He was like checked out and just not good in interviews. Even if that's your concern, I mean, quite frankly, why do you have Tomlin as your coach? Like, he builds culture and he connects with guys. He kept Antonio Brown in between the lines.
It's like the perfect
draft. Like, he kept him on the rails for, and I can't imagine Shedeur Sanders is anywhere close to that amount of, like, off the rails or unprofessionalism. So, you know, I don't have an answer for what's really going on with Shedeur other than most teams probably had him graded outside of the first round. Mm-hmm. I thought he would be gone in the second round.
Same.
And I thought that was totally reasonable. And I think that's what a lot of smart draft watchers, like, I don't know, like Albert Breer, were saying, like, hey, it looks like he's falling fast because he wasn't in the first round, but a lot of teams didn't see him as first round talent. But to not go in the third round, that's a different level of weird.
So I look at it too as, what if he's around in the 25th pick in the fourth round and Sean McVay comes up and he's like, well, why don't we just take him? And he sits behind Matt Stafford for a couple years.
How long do you think Stafford's going to play?
One or two more years.
Okay.
So, like, you know, and he's at least for the year, he sits behind Stafford. He learns the NFL. He kind of, I hate using the term, like, learns his place, but Sean McVay is a coach well entrenched enough that he is not going to be scared of Deion Sanders looming. He's not going to be scared of any of that. Because if there's any kind of media show, him and Les Snead will take care of it. Like, that's the kind of guy he is, like Sean McVay is. And he's arguably the best coach in football outside of Andy Reid. And so I wonder if a team now will see him and go, oh, now he has a chip on his shoulder. This could be something we can take advantage of.
Yeah, I think sometimes we play into that a little bit because of the lore of Brady being so pissed off about how late he
fell. But this is a guy who was supposed to go in the first round. It's now round four, and he'd be getting drafted. That's a precipitous drop. At least Tom Brady wasn't projected to go in like the second round and went in the sixth. You know what I mean? So, like, I think there is something to that, that there could be a chip on his shoulder. Let's go to Frank in Marshfield, wants to talk about Shadur. Go ahead, Frank.
Good morning. I just tuned in, and I totally agree with you. If all these teams think that the Shadur/Deion show is just all too much and overwhelming, which it is, that Deion's been like that his whole career, if they think it's all too much for him to drop out of the top five and drop and not be drafted by the end of the third round, isn't it possible that they think that and he's not going to get drafted at all? Just because it's not worth it at all? You think that's a possibility, that he doesn't get drafted at all?
All right, thanks for the call, Frank. Mego, do you think he gets drafted at all?
Yes, I think he gets drafted.
I would agree.
Look, top three rounds, tough that you're not taken there. I really thought he was going to get drafted in the second round. So I don't know to say whether it's going to be fourth round, fifth round. I don't think he falls further than that, though.
Yeah, I'm curious to see if the if, like, the sports books have any kind of bets on this. I don't see any right off the bat. It's just which team will Shadur be drafted by. I think at some point it just becomes talent against opportunity, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, oh, we can get a guy who, by most accounts, was probably like a second round grade for some teams in like the fifth or sixth round. Yeah, like, eventually somebody's just going to pick him up because he also joins a team and he's so cheap that if things don't go right, you can cut him. And then you don't have to deal with it, right? Like, if there is this media circus that follows, you can just let him go and you don't have to deal with it because the contract is pennies on the dollar.
What's interesting to me about this situation is also, I think it puts people's antennas up because we look at what happened in the draft last year where it's just from the top a run on quarterbacks, mm-hmm. and we're so used to that. And you have Cam Ward going one overall. And then after that, it's just been so unpredictable and weird. And so to see him fall this far, I think that alone, for people who are kind of casual college football watchers, maybe don't know a ton about Shadur, they're like, well, something else has to be going on here because quarterbacks always go early.
617-779-7937. Chuck in Boston wants to talk about Shadur. Go ahead, Chuck.
What's up, guys? Good morning. How we doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Good. Question is, Big 12 Offensive Player of the Year, most sacks in 2 years, only sat out one game. I listened to Mel Kiper this morning and said in 47 years, he's never seen anything like this, a top five player not get drafted by the end of the third round. Two things, Shyman, Mago. One, if you put Cam Ward on Colorado and put Shadur on Miami, what would happen? And the second question is, Deion Sanders is that much of a negative presence that this kid, and I agree with the last caller, he may not get drafted now.
All right, Chuck, thanks for the call. Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think if you put Cam Ward on Colorado, they're borderline like a playoff team.
Do you think that there's anyone in this draft where they're passing on Sanders makes the other teams even more wary of taking Sanders? I'm just thinking back to the Mac Jones draft.
Yeah.
When we saw the 49ers get so spooked by Belichick's supposed interest that they were going to jump up for that, they jumped up for Trey Lance, and we all forget that they sold the farm for that.
Yes, they
did. Crazy, and it ended up working out because they found Mr. Irrelevant and Brock Purdy. But Is there any further effect of that where, okay, you already have these things going against Sanders where individual team scouts are grading him maybe as a day two guy anyway, and then you see teams repeat who need a quarterback repeatedly choosing somebody else and passing on him, and that's making other teams who would otherwise say, well, this is kind of a bonus, this is kind of a luxury, but the kid's got a ton of talent, so let's take him. And they're looking at it and going, what does that team know?
Well, so that's why I kind of look at it as it, eventually it's going to have to be a coach and a GM who feel very comfortable in their system and in their organization. Guys like Sean McVay, a guy like Kyle Shanahan, Mike Tomlin to me is the one that just stands out the most just because the Steelers also need a quarterback. Like, it's going to be somebody like that that ends up taking Shador, and it's just because they know that they can handle whatever comes their way, and
so
they see some kind of talent.
Seeing the Giants.
No, I would wager quite a bit of money. He will not be drafted by the Giants or the Browns or the rest of the draft. Like, yeah. I think they got their guys in Jackson Dart, and like you said, the Browns are just kicking the can down the road with the picks they got from the Jaguars. So
I
it's going to be more so like even a guy like John Harbaugh, like to be Lamar's backup, like something like that, just because eventually the talent just outweighs the cost. Like, it's like, well, he's a really good football player and he's dropped all the way this far. Let's bring him in. Like, because if anything happens to our starting quarterback, we're going to need somebody to step up, and maybe this kid can do that.
And it's also the further he drops, the easier it is to move on if it's too
exactly.
much of a headache. You go, hey, look, we got him in the fourth round, guys. Like, what
100%.
Do you want? He was a bonus. He's not the plan.
100%. Let's go to David in the car. What's up, David?
Hey, good morning, guys. Great show. I really enjoy and I listen to you guys. You do a real good job, so thank you.
Thank you.
On Shador Sanders. On Shador Sanders. I don't think he will get drafted. If he does, it'll be at the very end. And Deion Sanders is the issue. People don't want to have what was the Ball brothers and father scenario. And I think that's what people are looking at it. And you're right, Megal. The more people pass on him, other teams are going to be more skeptical to pass on him, because they're going to be like, wait a minute, these other guys didn't take him. Why should I?
All right, David. Thanks for the call. I don't know. I feel like people are overrating the shadow Deion cast just a little bit. Like,
Because why is he now going to be falling as far as he is?
I guess, but like at the same time, like Deion's still the coach of Colorado. He just signed a contract extension. Like, he has other things to worry about in the football season outside of his son.
What do you think he cares more about, his son in the NFL or Colorado football?
I think he cared more about getting his son to the NFL than he does like his son having success. At some point or another, his son has to do it on his own, right? Like, you know, when the Mannings came into the NFL, Arch Manning was very much an influence on where they got drafted and when they got drafted. But then once they made the NFL, it was all on them. And it was all their talent or lack thereof that gave them success or failure. And I think that's what's going to happen here. Deion has a head coaching job. It's not like Deion's at home, retired, hanging out, or he's on FS1, you know, ranting all the time, and where he can just like publicly constantly berate teams or give teams the business because Shador's not playing or they're not treating him well. He's coaching Colorado still. He still has a lot on his plate as it is. Like, I don't think just from a time perspective, he's going to have the time to be bothering NFL, whatever NFL team drafts Shador about how much he's playing.
If you could get Shador in the sixth round, would you bring him to the Patriots?
Maybe. No. Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. Like, I'm hesitant just because. Why,
what's your hesitation?
Well, because you have a young quarterback in Drake May, and I think the future is Drake May, and so I don't necessarily think you need a young quarterback, and you have Josh Dobbs, and that's fine, whatever. I think more so, like, I look at the 49ers, I look at the Rams, I look at the Vikings.
Okay.
I look at...
What is your hesitation, though, with having Shador in the quarterback room? That it's a threat?
No, not that it's a threat. More so just that it's a distraction for my young quarterback.
I think a lot of teams feel like everything with Shador is a big distraction.
And I agree, which is why, like, I think you need offensive coaches who are very confident. And
Josh McDaniels?
Okay, maybe to a degree. I mean, he was out of work for a little while, and
he was here for the Brady Garoppolo years.
Sure, that's
had
true.
To
you
sort
know what?
That out.
Hey, that's a very fair point. Like, if Shador was there in the sixth round and they actually took Shador Sanders, I'm not going to complain about the pick. I don't think it's a bad pick.
That would be so great. That would carry us through a week of shows.
What a media circus that would become.
Make it happen. If Shador falls to the sixth round, I want the Patriots taking him for my own selfish reasons of being able to cover that circus.
I mean, that would be amazing. But like, it's just, I look at it, and so to me, like, the two teams that need quarterbacks that I think should be looking at him are the Steelers and Raiders. And that's why they're the top odds to draft Shador. I think that makes the most sense. But then again, like, I think teams like the 49ers, the Rams, even a team like the Cowboys will and should be looking at Shador Sanders. Like, if this is your backup quarterback, that's I would say you're doing okay.
I think the Cowboys are just such a shaky organization right now in terms of the leadership.
Yeah, like, it's such a Jerry Jones thing.
I think that has implosion written all over it.
Maybe. I just think Dak is so good that, like, it's not.
Dak gets injured all the time, though.
True. But, like,
and you got Joe Milton in there now.
But
you could have Shador Sanders battle out Joe Milton. Come on.
Oh, I'm in. John in Maine, real quick on Shador. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think you guys just touched on my main point on it is a lot of the teams have a quarterback and they're kind of set, and the teams that need one picked them in the first round, and now they're really picking backups right now, and I think they're picking these other guys because they just don't want to deal with all of the crap that comes along with them. You know what I mean? And I think that I honestly think the Cowboys are a good opportunity because I think Jerry Jones would love the publicity. And, you know, Dak does get hurt a lot. So I think that's a team that is likely to pick him, to be honest with you. But I think he's just slipping because nobody really wants the BS. They'd rather just take another quarterback because at this point people are picking for backups. So that's just my opinion as to why he's slipping. And I think he'll get picked, but I think it's just going to be a, you know, best possible player pick. You know.
All right, John, thanks for the call. Yeah, another team I'd keep an eye on, by the way, today, the Miami Dolphins.
For Shador?
Yep.
Huh.
I think that would be a good fit logistically.
How so?
I think him and Tua, although, you know, right-handed, left-handed, are very similar. They're not very good at throwing the ball deep, but they are very accurate. They're good in the pocket.
This is
they're not
going to help
mobile.
Sanders' case, by the way.
No, they're not super mobile, but I think Mike McDaniel is the kind of guy who would look at him and go, oh, I could get the best out of him.
Okay.
And Miami is already kind of just like it's Miami.
I don't think they're going anywhere. Miami. It's very, very early to say that, but yeah. I've just kind of, I feel like that ship has lost its rudder.
Oh, it might have, but that would be yet another reason why maybe they take Shador. 617-779-7937. Mego and Shime here on a rainy Saturday morning. We'll continue with all the draft talk you want here. Shador Sanders, phone lines are jammed, so we'll continue with some Shador, some Patriots thoughts as well here as we continue on in the second hour of the program and get you ready for Red Sox pregame, the Mass Mutual pregame show at 12:10. But right now, Jacob is going to get you caught up with.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know, I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
What's trending? Mango and Sean here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. I've been talking patch drafts. Shedeur Sanders seems to have gotten the people hot as well. So we'll continue with your phone call, 617-779-7937. Let's start with Greg in the car. Go ahead, Greg.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Let's put it into example. Sanders can throw the ball, but you think about the Colorado Smurfs he threw to. What did they run? Nines, deep posts, and ins. He can't throw the out route, but think about other quarterbacks that, like somebody like Danny Werfel, who won a Heisman, who had his receivers. Colorado speed amplified what Sanders brought. Is he a good quarterback? I don't know. Could he be a good quarterback? Maybe. But if he doesn't get looked at, I would say, hey, go to CFL, prove yourself there like Warren Moon, and then come back and everybody will say, whoops, we missed.
All right, thanks for the call, Greg. I don't think he's going to the CFL.
I think we're getting ahead of ourselves thinking he's not going to get drafted at all. It's definitely
somebody
jarring.
Has to take him.
He hasn't gotten drafted so far. Do you think that there's any truth to Colorado propping him up in some way? That the systems that they ran, aside from just what you talked about before with having Deion as his coach and how much of this is Deion's success, is that he's a product of Travis Hunter and the system that they ran, and that's not going to translate to the NFL.
Yeah, I think that helped. I think that helped him a lot. I definitely think that propped him up. Like, when you watch him, it's evident that guys like Travis Hunter help elevate him. But I also think he still has to make these throws. Like, he's not a bad quarterback. He's very accurate with his passes. He understands how to layer a throw kind of over the defense. His arm isn't super strong, so he's not going to beat you deep a ton. But, like, I go back to it. He's really strong in the pocket. He takes hits and he gets back up every single time. I understand he was one of the most sacked quarterbacks in all of college football. The offensive line wasn't great, so he was dealing with issues there. But, like, I think there's talent there. I think there's potential there. I don't know that I would have, like, put my entire franchise on him. But at this point, you're taking you're taking a backup quarterback. I absolutely think he's worth a draft pick to be a backup quarterback.
Let's grab line one because I want to delve further into this incredible hypothetical.
Go ahead, Tyler in Rhode Island.
Hey, guys. Yeah, Mego, you mentioned earlier, like, how far, you know, Shedeur falls. If he falls to the sixth, you know, do the Pats take him? I like that idea because it's low risk And then best case scenario, let's say he flashes a little bit in preseason. You know, maybe he starts like the last game of the year or something like that, similar to last season. If he shows improvement and he improves his stock, you can maybe just trade him back out for like a fourth or a fifth, get some kind of get some kind of return on him, and all you had to spend was a sixth.
Thanks for the call, Tyler. Mego?
Okay, so this is what I'm thinking.
Let me hear
and it. This is also in response to people bringing up the good point that you traded Joe Milton out of the room, maybe in part because the just idea of any kind of competition between Drake May and Joe Milton wasn't great for the sensibilities of that quarterback room.
Yep.
Not saying like Drake couldn't handle it, just saying it's awkward to have two quarterbacks from the same draft. I like that idea. I'm like talking myself into
You're
it. They're
into
never,
the Patriots drafting
they're
Shedeur
never
Sanders.
Gonna do it. But if Shedeur Sanders was there in the sixth round and you take a flyer on him, essentially, you grab him there and he proves himself to not be a total circus
be a great
in training
teammate.
Camp, that he's a great teammate and he's a good backup and he flashes in preseason and I don't know if you'd actually ever see anything from him in the regular season, but then maybe you do use him as a little bit of a trade chip. Like, you do need to get all of the capital that you can going forward to continue your rebuild. I just don't think they're ever going to do it.
Yeah, I don't think they'll ever do it either, but I kind of agree with you. I don't think
it'd be so fun.
If he's available in the sixth round of the NFL draft, like, okay, the
it's
Patriots
It's not
take
impossible
him.
At this point.
No, it's not impossible. Nothing is impossible.
Would you take him
point.
In the fifth?
Well, you do have three picks in the fifth round. So your final pick of the fifth round.
I'd do it. Who
okay.
cares?
Yeah. You don't Who have a sixth round pick. So it would be the Sorry. final pick of the fifth round for you, which is pick number 171 overall, 35th pick in the fifth
I'd
round.
I'd do that. Sure. 171. Come on. Sure. What are we doing at this point?
Why not? Yeah. I mean,
You took Javon Baker in the sixth round and people had him like written in red yeah. over in New York. And nobody knows what that means.
I'm in. Like, look, I don't hate the idea of a little competition for Drake May. You do want to push him a little bit. I think there's an opportunity there. You're right. It's an asset you could maybe even flip for something more later. Like, if he proves himself, he's a great teammate. He comes in. He's the third quarterback, but you don't hear a peep. He's working. He's grinding. You see some flashes in the preseason.
How far is the flight to Colorado?
I believe it's like 3.5 hours.
All right. That feels like
maybe
a big
four.
Enough pain for Dion
yeah.
to not be out here in time.
Also different time zones.
Yeah. It's just he can't get out of that mountain time.
Exactly.
Inclement weather on both sides.
Yeah. So, look, I'm kind of coming over to your side of the street. I think it would be a lot of – I think at the very least, it would be a lot of fun for us. Let's go to JP in North Providence wants to talk about this. Go ahead, JP.
Shine, Mego, first, the most important question. When you be BST again?
Me? Oh, possibly next
yes.
Friday. I'm not sure yet, though.
Oh, must-see TV. Hey, how about a Keefspiracy? Oh, you're welcome, Mego. I got a Keefspiracy.
Go ahead.
We'll take the last call. A great idea. The Wolves are known for taking the low-round quarterbacks and making them better. The kid is one of the toughest college quarterbacks I've seen. He takes hits like there's no tomorrow. He's not the fastest. He may have great hands. Why don't you take him and try him as a Cordell Stewart? Maybe he can catch the ball. His father is Dion. He has trained him. Why not take a flyer? Train him as a backup? See if he's got hands. Special teams, punt returner. Do something with him.
All right, JP, thanks for the
oh
call.
Oh, my God.
No,
wait. Think
can't.
About this.
He's not an athlete.
Think about if
he can't run.
Think about if you started pretending like he was a wide receiver and then you threw him out for the old school kind of Josh McDaniels, Julian Edelman play where he chucks the ball to Drake May touchdown receiving.
No.
You don't want to see that?
Sure, that'd be cool. But
you don't
no.
want to see that. Shedeur Why do you
not,
hate fun?
I don't hate fun, but Shedeur's not an athlete. Like, that's what you do with like Jalen Milroe. Because Jalen Milroe, you could convince me. Oh, yeah.
He's not here anymore.
No, I know. I'm just saying. No, not Joe Milton. Jalen
No,
Milroe.
I'm saying on the board anymore.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's not here.
No.
He's not available.
Yeah, Shedeur is not an athlete. Shedeur doesn't run well. He doesn't. Yeah,
you're
no,
really selling this guy.
No.
You're part of the.
He's a quarterback.
You're
that's
part
it.
Of the Shedeur conspiracy, the conspiracy against the Sanders.
No, I'm not. And also, I think it would do this too, right? So we mentioned the whole Joe Milton thing. I saw it with a texter. If the Patriots don't want Joe Milton, they're not taking him from the 508. Wouldn't it totally dispel the entire idea that Drake May was the reason Joe Milton got dealt, that he doesn't want competition, if you were to take somebody like Shadur?
I don't think Drake May was the reason. I think he was a reason.
I don't think we believe it, but like if there are certain people in the Patriots fandom that believe that Joe Milton was dealt because we got a million Joe Milton calls. I heard it a ton, that Joe Milton was dealt because they were coddling Drake May and that he was his family was unhappy with the competition.
To which I say, duh.
Yeah, which is, I also think it's dumb. Wouldn't it just dispel that whole thing where it's like, yeah, we're going to bring in Shadur Sanders.
Yeah, but they're not going to draft a player to combat a narrative that's not even true.
No, I know, but I'm just, maybe it's from their perspective, it's not combating a narrative, but for us, it's like, oh, it makes you even more confident about Drake May. It brings back that confidence that you may have lost if you're a fan that believes that he was dealt, that Joe Milton was dealt because they were coddling Drake May.
I don't think they saw Joe Milton as much of a value add in the locker room.
I agree.
And that's why they brought in Dobbs, to have somebody who's the veteran presence. And honestly, just kind of like helping out almost from an assistant level to Drake May. I don't know that Joe Milton was really interested in doing that going forward.
No, he definitely wasn't. 617-779-7937. Jay in North Carolina wants to talk Pats. What's up, Jay?
Hey, guys. I don't know if Vrabel and the Patriots organization is going, but they're drafting wide receivers and running backs. If Drake May doesn't have any time to make a play, it won't make a damn who they get. They've got to shore up the offensive line, and I hope that's what they're doing. I hope that's their top priority in Vrabel is. And do me a favor, put me on hold because I don't have streaming. I'm in a remote area, and I'd like to hear your comments.
Okay,
thanks,
yeah,
guys.
No problem, Jay. Thanks for the call. Look,
does that count towards ratings?
don't
if
think
we
so.
Put our callers on hold and they can listen that way,
I don't know. But no, so they are shoring up the offensive line. In the offseason, they acquired Garrett Bradbury to play center. They acquired Morgan Moses to play right tackle. You already had Mike Onwenu at right guard, so your entire right side of the offensive line is taken care of. They drafted Will Campbell 4 overall as their left tackle. Hopefully their left tackle for a few years to come.
Hopefully, and then for at least a year.
And then you take Jared Wilson in the third round as well, the center out of Georgia, who is an athletic freak. And I wouldn't be stunned if their thought is early on they try him at guard because he pulls really well. He's going to be great in the run game. He's not the best pass blocker in the world, but he anchors well. He doesn't get bull rushed quite as much as some other guards and centers in the league. And so playing next to Bradbury and playing next to Campbell, I think would really be beneficial for him. I wouldn't be shocked if they have that thought in mind.
I think the center was such a smart pick. Yeah. I really like Garrett Bradbury. When we talked to him down at Gillette a couple weeks ago, he comes off as whip smart, kind of just like the same mold as David Andrews.
Okay, cool.
And so I don't know if he is going to be somebody who's more than a stopgap at that position, but I really like the sensibilities that he brings to the offensive line. But I do think it was smart to bring in somebody, hey, if he plays guard this season, but if he's able to move over to center pretty quickly, I think that all in all, like, there's not the redundancy that you might see on its face from free agency to the draft this high. I think it's a smart pick.
Yeah, I really wanted them to go after Marcus Embo from Purdue because I really wanted that guard. But if the idea with Wilson is he's so athletic, it's we can start him at guard, and then when Bradbury works himself out at the end of his contract or retirement or whatever, you can kind of slide him over to center. I think that's a really smart play. I think that's great that you start that young left side of the offensive line. You really kind of add some competition, as Vrabel has told you he loves, because now it's, what, Laydon Robinson, Jared Wilson, and Cole Strange all competing for that left guard spot. You'll actually find out who's the best.
A murderer's row.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's the best, but
Jurassic Park.
If Will
that's
Campbell's
tackle.
Any good,
that's tackle.
Yeah, that's true. That is tackle. If Will Campbell's any good, then maybe that left guard spot can be not covered up a little bit, but be better because the left tackle's better and your center's pretty good. So yeah. I think that's an option for them.
Are you proud of us for having gotten through over half of the show not talking about Will Campbell yet?
Yeah, I am. Like, I am pretty proud of us.
You're so happy. Like, you're so happy about the picks last night that you've totally recovered from the mild depression you entered Thursday night that I watched you enter. And I was like, damn, he did this show till midnight and now he has to go do the morning show. So he's not going to get any sleep. He's going to, were you, I'm sorry, I didn't listen to the morning show on Friday. Were you just bitching the whole time? you miserable?
No, I wasn't. I was doing way too many things because with Courtney not here, I was also doing the news and doing trending. So I was just like, I was moving and grooving.
You were too occupied to be sad.
Yeah, exactly. And my lead on Friday morning was looking ahead to the second and third round. And so I was trying to be optimistic. And I felt like that energy, I manifested positive vibes.
How long are we doing this?
What?
Like the manifestation thing.
What do you mean?
Jacob, are you like a manifestation guy? Are you one of these younger people who believes that you can manifest your own idea of what's going to happen?
Honestly, yeah. If you repeat something the same time over and over again, I believe it may come true.
Yeah, if you look at his Instagram, he's trying to manifest a radio gig. I get it.
He's going to be play-by-play guy. He might be TV, so watch yourself.
Well, he might be both. Who knows?
He's going to be pulling a bigger paycheck than both of us in 5 years. Yeah. So
honestly, probably true.
Jacob, play-by-play guys, you can get that job real young now. So you keep working on that.
I hope so, man.
Keep grinding.
Campaign starts now.
But yeah, see,
just remember, speak from lower.
Look, I'm not like I manifest everything. I don't do like a vision board, but there's certain times where I'm just like, all right, I believe if I act positive and act optimistic and try and manifest positivity, positivity will find me.
I believe that if you're nice to people, good things usually come your way.
So you're a karma person.
It's not even karma. It's just, I guess from the perspective of personal relationships as well as professional relationships, you got to be really, really talented to be able to be a successful jerk. And there's a lot of people who turn into jerks once they become successful.
True.
But if you're still trying to climb your way up, I think being nice and fair to people goes far.
I tend to agree. Yeah, I try to be friendly. I try to just...
I'm always shocked when I work with a jerk, especially a younger jerk.
It takes too much energy to be like hateful and jerkish.
I think it depends on the day. Sometimes it takes a lot of energy to be nice to people. Sometimes if you wake up in one kind of mood, it takes a lot of energy to be smiling and cheerful with people who are annoying you.
That's true. 617-779-7937. Mego and Shime here on WEEI on a rainy Saturday morning. We're getting into the afternoon hours, though, shortly here. And
bro, it's like 10:40.
What? Yeah.
We're not getting into the afternoon hours.
For me, it's the afternoon.
For your schedule, true.
Yeah, for my schedule, I get up the ass crack of dawn all the time. So for me, it's getting close to afternoon hours. But, you know, we're down the road. Red Sox pregame will kick off at about 12:10 this afternoon. The MassMutual pregame show right here on the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI, Red Sox Radio Network. But, Mego, I understand that this has been difficult for you for the first hour and 45 minutes of the program to not even really mention your Boston Celtics.
It's actually been okay because it's putting me in a better mood.
Okay.
But we had to address last night because I'm irritated.
We will. And we will do that coming up next here on Mego and Shime right here on W.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Gary Washburn brings out the best in everybody.
He really does. He does it for Joe Mazzulla. He does it for Jason Tatum. It's a special trait you have to get responses like that.
Last night was so rough for me. I was so excited going into that game three because if you haven't been listening to my feelings on the Celtics, I have expected a Celtics sweep.
You did. You did predict a sweep.
I really thought, I really doubled down on that take after game two when you won by 9 points without Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown puts up 36. And people were talking about like, oh, he looks like he's limping. He looks ginger. He looked great in that game. Like, get out of here with that noise. And then last night, I still think this thing goes in five because everything that could have gone wrong outside of Tatum looking like himself, like everything that could have gone wrong essentially went wrong for you. You played directly into Orlando's hands, and it was really frustrating to watch. Going into the game, I was like, I didn't realize how much I wanted to watch an actual sporting event rather than just listen to people talk about the draft and watch guys walk up on stage. All due respect, Shime, I know this is...
I get it.
This is your side of the street.
Yeah.
And I like the draft to an extent, But I was like, okay, let's go. Even if it's first round of NBA, like, I'm here for it. You guys, Celtics, need to get the hell out of this. Like, get out of this. This is a goon squad you're going against. This team is hurting you. Like, I hate the way Orlando plays at this point. The way they played in the regular season, they were a great defensive team. They were fast and controlled on the closeouts on the perimeter. Paolo Banchero is still a little rough, still a little raw.
He's awesome.
Offensively, but he's going to be a superstar. And I loved the mentality that they brought. But now, they know they are so mismatched that all they can do is muck it up for you. They said it, Cole Anthony said it to the Orlando Sentinel the other day. You're at the point now where Jaylen Brown is getting yanked down when he's trying to drive to the basket, dislocating his finger on his left hand. Everybody's getting banged up in this series. It's so early to deal with this. I just want them to get the hell out of this and be able to rest, because on the other side, the Knicks and Pistons are also roughing each other up, and hopefully that'll go seven. You'll get a little bit of rest, and you'll see whoever in the next round. But right now, there is a little piece of me that's not scared that they're not going to get to the second round, because ultimately, the Celtics are much better than the Magic.
Yeah.
But the wear and tear, the beating, the beatdown and bruising that they're taking physically is insane.
It's so much different than last season, where this things like this never happened, right? Those games they lost last year, it was just like, all right, they made a bunch of mistakes. There were some turnovers. Like, okay, they're still a better team.
They had horrible turnovers last night, yeah, to be fair. Oh,
without a doubt. And so, and I felt like every time, so I had the classic multi-box going.
Nice.
I had the Celtics in the draft right next to each other. And like every time I look up, like it's like, oh, Jaylen Brown just got his third foul. Oh, Kristaps Porzingis just got his third foul. And I'm like, what is going on here?
So I think, like I said before, outside of Tatum looking good and looking
Tatum
strong,
great,
which honestly is kind of the most important thing right now. Like, that was the most important question to be answered. He looked good last night. And
so I hate to cut you off too. Yeah. I need to say this. It infuriates me. And you've said this for quite a while. It infuriates me that when the Celtics win and Tatum like isn't popping off, well, Tatum doesn't show up in big games. And then Tatum goes for 36 and he's awesome in the game. And it's like, well, the Celtics didn't win. And it's like, he can't win. It's infuriating.
They were within a score in the final seconds because of Tatum's play.
100%.
Because nobody else really showed up last night. And it's unfortunate you didn't have Jrue Holiday in. I hope that that's a very occasional thing that he deals with, because Holiday is such a grounding person for them in the playoffs. Like, he just brings such leadership and such a mentality. Like, these kind of intangibles that we all goof on sometimes when we talk about guys, Jrue Holiday actually has them and actually demonstrates them. But everything else just was bad. KP has been bad.
Yeah, what's up with him? He has struggled.
I don't know. And I don't know if
it's the size and speed of the Magic.
He likes physicality, so yeah. I don't think that side of it bothers him. Same thing as Jaylen Brown, but his shooting has been bad. And I think he's just slumping right now, because he's getting the right looks. They're just not hitting.
Yeah.
Derek White wasn't good last night. Peyton Pritchard, unfortunately.
Pritchard didn't even shoot the ball. He was out there 26 minutes. He shot it twice.
He looked really disrupted early last night. He had two quick turnovers. And that's my guy. Like,
yeah.
I love the physicality he usually plays with. You played completely into their game plan last night. You let them make you turn the ball over. You only attempted 27 threes, lower than even your lowest attempt of threes in the regular season, which was 33 against Orlando. So it was a bad beat that you took. I think it still should only go five. I'm disappointed it won't be a sweep. And this is why. Because you need to get the hell away from these guys. Yeah. They're not going to back down. And I think if you listen to Jaylen Brown postgame, he's like, all right, if they want to fight to see who gets to the second round, we're bringing the fight.
But isn't that a mistake?
I like that mentality, but I'm also like, I don't know, how about you get out to the perimeter and shoot your threes and get the hell away from this team who it plays so reckless?
Yeah, by playing physical, you're playing into what they want, because they know in a physical battle they can actually beat you.
It's the only chance they have.
100%. But if you just play your game and you spread the floor and you shoot your threes, like, you're going to wipe this team off the floor.
I just don't want them banged up so early going into a round where they're going to see another physical team, whether it's the Knicks or the Pistons. I think it'll probably be the Knicks, and they're going to be up on you too. So it's not going to be like, when we talk about it's not going to be an easy path, it's not just like, oh, you're going to have to go six games or seven games at some points when you're moving through the East. It's going to be these teams who Orlando knows that you are so much better than them. The only chance they have
is to beat the crap out of you.
Yank Jaylen Brown's arm and drag him to the ground and dislocate his finger. And Cole Anthony goes out and tells the Orlando Sentinel the other day at shoot around, like, oh, we got them complaining. That's good. We're going to muck it up. We're not trying to hurt anybody, but we know that we're in their heads, essentially, and paraphrasing. At this point, when I watch it and knowing, I'm not going to sit here and talk about the refs because I think that's crap. But knowing that the refs are being inconsistent across the board, they, like, don't know what direction they're supposed to be going in with these defensive calls with both teams. They know that Orlando knows they can push the envelope, and they're going to continue doing it to a further extent the longer the series goes on.
Yeah, and that's just only going to spell bad things for the Celtics, a team who are already dealing with banged-up players. Jrue Holiday banged up, Jason Tatum banged up, Jaylen Brown banged up. Porzingis has been bleeding from the face a couple times. Like, it's... this is not what you want. You're absolutely right. You need to get out of this series as fast as humanly possible. You need to rest up and get ready for whatever round two holds, because you are going to need as much time off as you can to recover.
And I think it'll help if they get Jrue Holiday back, because one of the biggest issues that they were having last night was their transition. And Jason Tatum talked about this a little bit post-game, that they were getting stuck in these sets, essentially. They were getting stuck in Orlando style, which is this, like, half court settled stuff. And they weren't. And then on the other side with these turnovers, these live ball turnovers, I think Orlando had like 26 points off of the turnovers from the Celtics. And that's just a recipe for a disaster for them. So they need to be able to not get trapped by Orlando in the middle of the court, be able to deal with the physicality and push past that, and just start getting back to their style of offense, which is spreading it out, draining the threes, and get KP going again.
Yeah, off turnovers, Orlando had 26 points, Boston had 8. And then the bench, which Orlando's bench has been bad in the first two games of the season or series, was plus 9 in that win last night. So, like, that was the difference. There was clear issues for this Celtics team. We will continue talking Celtics here. It's Mego and Shime on WEEI. Mego needs to continue to vent just a little bit more on the Celtics.
Do have a note for Joe Mazzulla.
Ooh. Okay.
And I like what he's been doing for the most part, but there was a note that I have for him last night that I think we'll need to carry forward in the playoffs.
All right, we'll get to that next here on Mego and Shime on Boston Sports Original WEEI.